DeMar DeRozan goes absolutely nuts. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson do not splash at all. And the Pelicans beat the Raptors. This is Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On NBA, your daily one-stop shop for all things NBA, breaking down the games nightly, giving you the best news, information, analysis, all that jazz. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day. We are free and we're available on all platforms. I'm your regular host on Tuesdays, Matt Moore from the Action Network, senior NBA writer. You can find me on Twitter at HB Basketball. I'm also the co-host of Locked On Nuggets. Joining me tonight, very excited, Andy, say hi.
Hey, what's up?
Andy Kamenetsky over at Locked On Lakers joining me on this Tuesday edition. Very glad to have Andy on. I've known Andy forever. He's the best. We're going to be breaking down Tuesday's game or Monday's games on Tuesday. All the information that you need to know. Let's start right here with DeMar DeRozan tonight. Andy went absolutely just crazy. It was a wild performance. Spurs Bulls was an exceptionally entertaining game. Bulls win 120-109, outpacing the Spurs in the fourth quarter. It was an absolute battle. DeJounte Murray goes for 19 points on 7 of 16. They get 19 points from Doug McDermott. Remember Doug McDermott? He's a guy. Lonnie Walker gave him 21. He was really good. But then there was DeMar. DeMar DeRozan, if you get a chance, go watch just the second quarter of this game tomorrow. The second quarter, You'll see the highlight if you go to YouTube, because he yammed on Jakob Poeltl. He got all of Poeltl. He got the full body of Jakob Poeltl. 40 points for DeRozan on 16 of 24 shooting for 67% from the field, 8 of 8 from the stripe, 7 assists, a plus 15. Apparently there has never been a player for the Bulls, or maybe in general, to average 30 points on better than 60% shooting in 3 straight games, and DeMar has done it. An absolutely wild night for DeMar DeRozan.
I got to say, man, because this has been an unbelievable season for DeMar DeRozan, I'm really enjoying seeing this happen, because for a long time, I've thought he's just an underappreciated player, and not just because of the effect of like the analytics boom or like the broad kind of generic way that analytics are talked about and people focusing on the lack of outside shooting when he's always been just, you know this, Matt, like elite in the mid-range. But also, he's been better in ways over the years that I don't think people recognize because they were so focused on what he doesn't do. Like, he's become a high-end playmaker. The last 5 seasons, he's averaged at least 5 assists per game as a non-point guard, you know, non-lead guard. I also think, too, because of the struggles with the Kyle Lowry DeRozan backcourt in Toronto for several years. And some of that was just the misfortune of playing in the same conference as LeBron. You know, those teams killed a lot of quality opponents. Lowry ends up getting, Lowry ends up the one who stays. DeRozan moves. And I think there became a narrative that Lowry was the winner and DeRozan was kind of the loser, and kind of the guy holding everybody back. And in reality, just sometimes things run their course. But he's always been a really good player. And I think this rejuvenation and this new appreciation for him is just really, really enjoyable to see.
Yeah, you know, I was really hard on him in Toronto because of the way that he approached the game. And like, I sat down with him years ago, back before the Raptors were good, about why he was so invested in Toronto, why he wanted to make it work there. You know, and I was down on him in the playoffs, and he had so many struggles, and the plus minus was bad. And I'm like, I'm a guy who cares about plus minus because it's literally, do you get outscored when you're on the floor? But then he goes to San Antonio, and I actually thought the last 2 seasons that he was just excellent. Like, he was a good passer in Toronto. He'd added a lot to his game, but he got to San Antonio, and I mean, it just like went to an entirely different level, and he's brought all of that to Chicago. He's also a really easy guy to love. Like, Popovich and him had like a long like talk after the game, and like Pop was like really like just like you could tell there was a connection there, and it was really cool to see. But yeah, DeMar is, I think he's absolutely, he's going to get all, MVP votes. He'll wind up on the ballot. He's not going to win, but he's probably going to finish in the top five, maybe for voting. And that's incredible for him to have done what he's done and carried this Bulls team, especially, you know, Chicago had a lot of problems defensively tonight, and they need his offense right now, because without Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball, that defense is not good.
Well, especially too, remember, Matt, everybody thought the Bulls just wildly overpaid DeRozan, yeah, and they were trying to figure out exactly what they were thinking. And you know what? You can say the contract is whatever it is. They clearly, though, made the right choice, regardless of the pay.
Yeah. So the Bulls get the win there. Elsewhere, the Brooklyn Nets finally got on the winning side. After 11 straight getting absolutely annihilated, they got some reinforcements tonight. No Kyrie, because they're at home, and you know how that goes. But Seth Curry and Andre Drummond joined the show, and the impact was immediate. So on the offensive side, Seth Curry gives them a lead guard who's able to shoot and score. He actually only shoots 3 of 8 from 3, but he goes 10 of 18 from the field for 23 points. Really paced them. Like every time that the Kings got off to a horrific start, Nets got out to a big lead, Kings caught back up, but then Curry just kept kind of pacing them. He finishes with 23 points, 7 rebounds for Seth Curry tonight, and 5 assists. Bruce Brown adds 19. Drummond played 24 minutes and was a plus 23 in those minutes. He absolutely just beasted inside. My big criticism of the Nets this season has been that they have nothing in the front court defensively. And don't get me wrong, the bigger thing here is that the Kings have less in the front court defensively. But it was, I do think that the impact of Drummond was big. It allowed LaMarcus Aldridge to come off the bench. He was big with 19 points. He was at 8 rebounds, 8 of 11. Aldridge was just knocking in like little stuff, and they kept giving him these easy buckets. So got 14 from Cam Thomas. The Nets are going to try and outscore you, and they put up, you know, 109. Kings only get 85. Kings come back down to earth a little bit after that nice start after the trade.
Yeah, as the old saying goes, Matt, it always helps to play Sacramento. Like, they're there in a pinch when you need them. You know, often when things are at their worst, you can just turn to them and say, help me, friend. And more often than not, they'll be there to do it. I also think, too, that Seth Curry and Andre Drummond have been slept on a little bit in terms of their impact for Brooklyn moving forward. Yeah. Because, you know, rightly, there is so much focus on the Harden-Simmons end of all this. And, you know, it's understandable. But at the same time, though, Seth Curry is a really, really good shooter. I mean, you know, he may not be Steph, but he's really good. Andre Drummond was, I think, the best backup center in the league in Philadelphia this year. He's having a terrific year for him. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Philadelphia replaces that presence behind Embiid. But in the meantime, like you said, he gives Brooklyn something they don't have. And Andre Drummond is an imperfect player, but he's really good at the stuff that he does well. And, you know, a couple things, particularly defensively, I don't think he's quite as bad as his reputation. I really noticed this last year covering the Lakers when he came over as their big buyout acquisition. You know, again, he's got flaws, but some of those flaws are not nearly as big as they're made out to be. Like, he's one of those guys that in the analytics era, the analytics despise him. And he is the anti-darling of this time that we're in now, Matt.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, though, is also, you know, the analytics is part of the overreaction on him. But I will say this. I think as he's gotten older, like, the fact that he joined Philadelphia, like, he went to Philly to play backup to Joel, who had always clowned him. And some of that is, like, I don't want to say desperation, but, like, you take where the money is. Like, you go where the job is. And that's where Drummond's at in his career. Like, he's not a superstar. He's not the one of the top five best centers in the league. He's just a guy that his job is to block shots, get rebounds, get putbacks, throw down dunks. And he knows that. And the fact that I think it's smart that the Nets were like, hey, we have all these playmakers. You're going to eat. You're going to get stuff. All we need you to do is block some shots, because they don't need like a high end, really high IQ rim protector. They just need the option in the bag, because most of their stuff in the playoffs is going to be switch all with Bruce Brown at the five or KD. They just need something in the bag for when they go up against centers. And, you know, notably tonight, like Sabonis had an awful night after a really great start in Sacramento. He had a rough one, 4 of 11 from the field for 9 points on 11 shots, 9 rebounds and a minus 10. So big impact there for Andre Drummond. Last one before we go break. You know, we talked about Seth Curry and how good of a night he had. Well, his brother, you know, the numbers work out well. The numbers look good on paper. But the Dubs lose another one. The Warriors lose to the Clippers without Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard, no Norman Powell, who's out with a fractured foot. Steph goes for 33 points on 11 of 18 shooting and 8 of 13 from three. I will say that's the third straight game where Steph is actually the Lakers game accepted. So, like, he was on a good streak, and then he goes on national TV, and he absolutely looks terrible versus the Lakers. But this is another bounce back. It seems like Steph's shot may be coming back. Klay Thompson's, however, tonight was gone. After the 30-pointer versus the Lakers, Klay goes for 7 points on 3 of 14 shooting. Ouch. Sometimes coming back from injury is a bit much. He was a minus 23 in this one. Clippers just did what they do, man. 25 from Terrence Mann. They got 19 from Reggie Jackson, who, by the way, Clippers fans call Big Government because he always bails them out. It's my favorite
in all. I didn't know that. That's great.
Of the NBA. Yeah, his nickname amongst the Clippers fans on Twitter is Big Government, and that's my favorite nickname for any player.
That is
in the
a
NBA
phenomenal
right
nickname. I had I'm in LA and I'd never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, the Clippers. So, you know, Batum goes for 14. They get 18 from Zubac, who had a really solid game in this one. And the Clippers just kind of outpaced them. I think the Warriors are in a little bit of, hey, we're just trying to get to the All-Star break and, you know, running out of gas and really need to get Draymond back. But I will say the Clippers hung with them in the first game that they played this season. I think it was the second game of the season on a Thursday. They hung with them then. And that they had PG then. They lost the second one, I think, when they had the most injuries. It was in that weird, the COVID time, the Omicron time. And then they get this win. The biggest thing for me here is the Clippers are a pretty heavy switch team. That's been their identity, and they ran a lot of that tonight. This was why the Rockets went to switch all. It is still the best tactic to slow down the Warriors' ball movement offense, is if you switch everything, you can throw a wrench in the works.
Just speaking of tactics in general, the record will never allow this to happen, but has any coach in the league, in terms of just doing the most with the least, proven themselves more than Ty Lue? I mean, like, if we were not, I guess y'all, because I maybe neither one of us, I don't get a vote in this stuff, yeah. In terms of the awards, but Ty Lue is absolutely coaching his butt off, and he is really one of the best tacticians in the league, and he's really good, I think, at just using the players in front of him and getting the most out of them and figuring out what they do well and instilling just belief. Like, because, like, you know, the last season under Doc Rivers with the Clippers, there was a lot more sniping, there was a lot more stuff happening in that locker room, which, by the way, is not unusual for a lot of Doc Rivers locker rooms. Like, they all seem to go to this place eventually. And Lou is just really good at utilizing the stuff that he has. And it's, again, he is not going to end up getting this type of award because the team's likely going to stay 500-ish and stuff like that just doesn't happen. But he really is one of the best coaches in the league, like the upper end of this league.
I think he's moved into that tier. I think there's kind of a consensus that the amongst the best are Nick Nurse, Eric Spoelstra, Ty Lue, Steve Kerr, I think just because of the championships and longevity. People would probably still throw Pop in there, but Pop's, you know, nobody really talks about Pop anymore because San Antonio's off the radar. But I think Lue's moved into that stratosphere, absolutely, and it's impressive that he does it, you know, missing so many guys. If I had to say who my coach of the year would be right now, I'd still give it to JB Bickerstaff because he's doing it with a bunch of young guys. And for me, like, coaching up guys that don't know what they're doing is always more impressive to me than, like, getting Nick Batum and Marcus Morris to run an offense. But I do think that Ty Lue has been phenomenal and is very worthy of the accolades that he's getting. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about the games from Monday night. We'll talk about some the Bucks and the Raptors had bumpy rides tonight, as well as those Knicks. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I'm going to tell you about Bet Online. You know, football might be over this season, but basketball is in full steam in both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. I bet on the Blazers tonight to win because I saw that Giannis was out, and that was a cha-ching. I also bet on the Rockets because the Jazz have lost 8 times as double-digit favorite this season. That did not work out for me. But it's not just basketball at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds right to the Olympic coverage and information. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On NBA. Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and it's available wherever you get podcasts. Back here on Locked On NBA with Andy, I'm Matt Moore. Let's hit up the Bucks. This was a crazy one. You know, Giannis gets ruled out, Andy, and I think it was, like, I jumped on it, like I said, in the read. Like, I thought this was a spot for them. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think it's might be true. Like, it's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything, and the Blazers have lost everything, and they're playing exceptionally well. Yusuf Nurkic has, I think, given them fantastic minutes. He had 23 tonight and 16 rebounds, and a plus 28 in 29 minutes. Josh Hart gave them 27 points. The new guy comes out and goes 5 of 9 from three. They get 31 from Anfernee Simons. These guys are just gunning. It's a bunch of young dudes and Nurkic just running up the floor. Like, CJ Elleby chips in 10 points. Like, gives them good minutes tonight. And the Bucks just play sloppy, uninspired basketball as they are wont to do this season. The Bucks are definitely in the case of, oh, hey, we're playing the Lakers on TNT. Let's stomp them. And then, like, the next couple of games, they're like, eh, whatever. Just kind of getting through the season, moving along. I do think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Milwaukee, because it's games like this that I feel like are going to cost them in the seedings. I'm not worried about Milwaukee. They've lost some games. They're short on wings. There's kind of a little bit of burbling panic in Bucks Twitter about the fact that they lost, you know, they traded Dante DiVincenzo to Sacramento. Yeah. They lost PJ Tucker in the offseason to Miami. And then Pat Connaughton, immediately after the trade deadline, injures himself. He's out 4 weeks with a hand injury. So now they're down really to Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews, and Jordan Awara as their wings outside of Giannis. But, you know, usually they have Giannis. I don't know. Is this a concerning game? Are you more impressed with the Blazers or concerned about the Bucks from this one?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, when you pointed out the way the Bucks, if it's against the Lakers on national TV, they'll stomp them. But a game like this, they may just go back to playing sloppy. Because I both, you know, am invested in the Lakers' success and also believe in meritocracy, I would just like to see the Lakers taken off all the national TV games, because I believe it'd be most fair and might actually help the Lakers in the process, because teams really do gear up to go up against them. They really do enjoy beating them, even in this state, especially if it's national TV. So I really, we could solve a lot of problems for me if they stop playing the Lakers in so many nationally televised games. Am I worried about the Bucks? No, not particularly. You know, as long as Giannis is out there, and we've seen enough from them this season of what they can do, I'm not that concerned. But as far as the Blazers go, like, when you mention the new guys and, you know, playing with freedom, I don't know what the future in Portland holds for Damian Lillard, much less Josh Hart. But Josh Hart, I think, actually could fit really nicely with Damian Lillard. You know, he's an incredible rebounder for his size. He's one of the best rebounding guards in the league. He competes defensively. He's not a great outside shooter, but if he's playing with Dame and Simons, he doesn't necessarily have to be. And he's young enough that he could still grow incrementally as a player, but old enough that he's got some experience. And I covered him with the Lakers. I was always really impressed with his personality and his makeup and approach to the game. So I'm curious to see what that future holds. And, you know, Simons, looks like, you know, he's always been somebody that people have been waiting to see. When is that leap coming? Like, when is he going to take that next step? Because there's always been these flashes, and we're starting to see more of it consistently. You don't necessarily like the reasons, you know, with Dame out, CJ gone, somebody has to take these shots. But the good news is he's showing a lot of signs of being able to become a high-end player, regardless of the direction that this team ends up going.
Their ball movement has been phenomenal in this stretch. Like, they are, for whatever reason, these guys are buying into what Chauncey Billups is selling way more than the vets were. Nurkic has actually been really good passing too. That's a thing I've dinged him for over the
years. Always been a good passer, I think.
He's been really good in this area in terms of keep moving the ball and not getting stuck and being like, I want mine. He just keeps moving it and the ball finds him again. You know, we talked about Josh Hart. This is kind of like the guys that there was a lot of potential for that have kind of gotten cast aside, because look, Justice Winslow tonight gets him a double-double. He goes for 13 and 10. He's been good this season. He's starting to get his confidence and his health back. He's been good. Josh Hart, Nurkic is a guy that they thought, there's a lot of people that thought he was going to get traded at the deadline. Now there's talk they're going to re-sign him. I think the danger for the Blazers is just don't get so carried away. You start thinking with the wallet here. You don't want to like be like, no, we can get Dame back and then like we can make a run. Mm-hmm. Like, be very careful with how you approach this, because I do still think that they're catching teams. This is the part of the season, I think, especially where teams are like, oh, Dame's out and CJ's gone. Like, this is whatever.
All-star break's coming. They're already thinking about Cancun for 5 days, stuff like that. Like,
whatever. We'll go out and we'll beat this team. They're young. They don't know what they're doing. And then they get hit with like, oh, hey, Anthony Simons shot 7-16 from three. Like, you know, those kind of hits.
I mean, their whole bench is a bunch of dudes who are looking to prove themselves and, you know, as players, or like a guy like Ben McLemore, whose place in the league is not secure at all. Those guys are going to play hard, if nothing else. No matter, even if they don't play well, they're going to play hard, and playing hard can get you somewhere.
Speaking of playing hard, the Oklahoma City Thunder keep messing with their very clear intentions of getting a better draft pick as they knock off the Knicks tonight, 127-123. Josh Giddey had himself a day in the Garden. It was his first time in the Garden. And Giddey goes for 28 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists, 11 of 22 shooting, 3 of 4 from three-point range. He did have 7 turnovers, but just a really fantastic night. He was dishing absolutely everywhere. The Knicks defense will have these days where it's like, that's not so bad. And then they just like completely fall apart. And this is one of those where the problem with the Thunder is they have built a team very specifically to play hard and lose. But if you are a low execution team, they are good enough to beat you. Like, they do have enough guys. What's also impressive about this one, no Lu Dort. Lu Dort misses this game, no problem. They get 30 from Trey Mann and 23 from Baisley. And in overtime, the Thunder knock off the Knicks.
Well, Matt, I don't know if you've seen a little movie called Major League, but if we learned in that one, you can build a team to lose as much as you want, but the players still get a vote on how all this turns out, because they are not going to go out there and purposely tank. Like, I don't care what the model is in a team like this. I should say, you're not going to be able to send them out there and tell them to lose. You can maybe try to coach them into it, but you know, all these guys on the Thunder, you know, unless you're like Shea or Lu Dort, or I guess Giddey, they don't know what their future is going to be in the league. Like, they don't know how long they're going to be with the Thunder. They have no expectation that, you know, that the Thunder will eventually reward them for being part of Tankathon with a long-term future. So they're thinking about the rest of their career, and they need to make sure that they're showcasing themselves well. And, you know, clearly the Presti's plan of losing more than winning is playing out just nicely. Thank you very much. But occasionally the players are going to end up getting a vote on this. You know, they're not just going to roll over just because that's the organizational's overarching plan.
Now I'm just imagining a cardboard cutout of Presti in the locker room and disturbed. Okay. I'm going to try and collect myself as we go to break. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll hit some of the other games on the docket on Monday night in the association, including the Nuggets take care of business, Utah takes care of business, and Well, the Wizards in Detroit played a game, all right. That's a thing that happened. We'll talk about all that when we come back on Locked On NBA. But first, I need to tell you about good old Built Bar, because Built Bar is a great tasting protein bar that tastes good and is good for you. They've got the Puffs. Have you heard about these? They're marshmallows. They are protein infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're an absolute treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors like churro. That one's amazing. Coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. Oh, they're all so good. They're going to be all of those are going to be your new favorites once you get a hold of them. All the Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, the Puffs included 100% real chocolate, but they're also low calorie, high protein. You get only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein in your average Built Bar. Just go to built.com and scroll down to the macros chart, and you're going to be blown away by what you're going to find on the health stuff. Compare that to a candy bar, which has got around 240 calories. This is quite the deal for you. You got mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond. I love that one. It's my favorite. And new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. They're all delicious and new flavors coming out all the time. If they think a flavor might be good, they'll make it. It'll be delicious and it'll be good for you. Check it all out at built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On NBA. Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and it's available on all platforms. I'm Matt Moore. He's Andy Kaminsky. We're rolling through the Tuesday, I keep saying Tuesday, Monday night games in the association for the Tuesday show. I swear to God, I'm going to figure out the time-space continuum. I messed up from the trade deadline. You're going to have to forgive me. I just spent a lot of time stressing and being on the phone and trying to find out what was real and what was very much not. And guess what? Most of it was not real. Couple more games in the association that was real. Denver Nuggets got a very boilerplate win versus the Orlando Magic. The Nuggets don't blow them out. The Nuggets don't run away with it. They just keep about a 13 to 15 point lead for the majority. It was another messy night for Denver's offense. We'll talk about more on that on my other show, Locked On Nuggets. I will tell you, this is just a very much like a, the Magic beat Denver early this season. And I do think it's kind of a sign of Denver was so banged up and so miserable early in the season that the Magic were able to catch them. And this one, the Nuggets just had too much to offer, even without Monte Morris starting.
The way you're talking about this and the way Denver's been playing, it sounds sort of like a cat playing with a mouse that it's about to kill, but it just sort of screws around with it for a while before eventually putting the mouse out of its misery. You know, if you know you're going to win this thing, you can pace yourself. You can take your time. And, you know, that can be, you know, occasionally a dangerous game. You know, occasionally, I guess in this metaphor, the mouse might actually flip itself over and run off. But for the most part, you know, Nikola Jokic is going to be the best player on the court in any given game that Denver plays, because he is arguably the best player in the league, period. So that's always going to give you an inherent advantage. And you know, when you're pacing yourself out over the course of an entire season, sometimes you think, you know what, let's just do enough to beat Orlando. Call it a night.
I will say this. I kind of prefer it when teams don't go all out in these games to run up the score and have some sort of like really feel good dot. Like, you shouldn't need to prove this. If you're a team, especially in Denver's spot, it's one thing if you're like a young team that's trying to prove that you're good. Like Memphis does this a lot. Like they'll run it up, right?
Yeah.
Because Memphis is like, they're just enjoying being good. They're like, this is awesome. Like I want to feel this way all the time. Denver's like, no. Like, well, this is our fifth playoff run in a row and our third in like a year and a half. So we really just need to get through this. I think it's better just to get through the night, pace yourself and just get through it. There's not a lot. In the end, point differential does not wind up mattering unless it's like the 800th tiebreaker. It's never going to matter. So,
I mean, this is the real world. You beat a team by 10. That's a good win. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the fact that it's Denver, who is a team that if everybody is there, you think could make a legitimate run, possibly even to the finals, versus Orlando being who they are, it doesn't change the fact double-digit win is a double-digit win. You clearly control the game.
Yeah. I will say, I do want to say this. A guy that's having a really good year that nobody's mentioned, I thought he was really bad in Chicago. and I just about given up on him, and that's Wendell Carter Jr. He's been sneaky really good for this team. Like, there's a lot of hype around Mo Bamba, who only played 11 minutes tonight, got banged up, but 34 minutes for Wendell Carter, 12 of 22 from the field, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. Like, WCJ is good. He is able to do a lot defensively, whether it's on this team or another team, you know, probably this one. That seems like a guy that they would build around. I think they have something with WCJ. There's a lot of players on Orlando. I said this consistently since the start of the year. There's a lot of players on Orlando that I feel like are having good individual seasons. It's just when you like put them all together, the result is like, oh yeah, they're going to lose by 15.
Well, I mean, okay, first of all, the Lakers played the Magic in mid-January, and Wendell Carter Jr. played really well in that game. So I agree with you. He's having a good season. He can be an impact player. The Magic, though, are just an organization that over like the last decade or so, they've clearly not figured out how to do anything beyond just assemble talent, like in terms of like actually putting pieces together and doing something cohesive with it. You know, for a while, they were kind of this island of misfit toys roster where you're looking at like the individual pieces going, all right, that guy's good. That guy's good. That guy's good. I have no idea why you put them all on the same roster, though. Like, right. It's not an individual competition, but, you know, they may have an eye for identifying talent. It's just going to be really interesting to see whether under, you know, new coaching or whatever, if they can actually figure out what they want as a roster and how to build on that vision. Like, do they actually know what they want?
I think a lot of it is you put those guys together so that you can wind up with a top four pick and draft Jabari Smith. I think that's why.
Sure. Sure. But then do they know what they want? You know what I mean? Like, you can only do that so many times. Then you got to figure it
out. Utah takes care of business tonight. They do not mess around this time. 135-101. They lost to Houston in their last matchup. And so I'll say this, like, since Rudy Gobert has come back and Donovan Mitchell has come back, like, they've been playing some good basketball again. Mitchell goes for 36-7. Bogdanovich goes for 22. They get another kind of interesting one here. They get Udoka Azubuike is like in the rotation now. He only played 8:15, but like they have all these bigs now that they can go to, and that's before even Rudy Gay, who is out for this one, is available. Like, they can go to Whiteside and play him. They can go to Pascal and play him. He played 15 minutes tonight, got 12 points. Like, they have a lot of bigs, and their base competency was way too much for the Rockets, who I'll just say it. Like, I am really continuously just unimpressed with the backcourt, just whether it's Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. I think if you put Jalen Green next to like a basic, competent veteran NBA point guard, probably will get something out of him. I think if you put KPJ versus like a very disciplined guy that's going to connect with him, or a guy that's just going to like a speed demon, maybe they just fly. That combination of guys, their shot decisions, I think are terrible. But Utah gets another win. They seem to be riding the ship a little bit.
Eric Gordon's got to be sitting around going, y'all really couldn't trade me? Like, really? You really couldn't get me the hell out of here? Like, seriously, I got no business being here whatsoever. I mean, you know, the check clears every time, but he's got to be miserable with that.
And
yeah,
it kills me. They had first on the table for him, and they were just like, "No, we have to get a pick in the teens."
Guys, do you really? Like, do you really? Really? Well, I guess the owner told him shut up and listen, and they listened.
Finally, tonight.
He's got a book.
Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards played a basketball game. If nobody notices that a game is played, does it really happen? But the answer is yes. And I will say, I did actually catch this one, and Kuzma was really great in this one. This is a former Laker night. It's good that you're on, Andy. This is like we got Josh Hart in the action. we got Kuzma coming through with 23 points on 10 of 18 shooting in the win for the Wizards. Look, the Wizards are struggling, obviously. No Beal. Their season is essentially over with Bradley shutting it down for the season. KCP comes through with 16 points. Denny Avdija did give them 12 and actually looked pretty good. He had 15 boards. He's been playing more physical, which I think is encouraging. Like, I've actually liked the way that Avdija has looked as of late. Thomas Bryant looked rough. He's still recovering from that injury. And without Daniel Gafford, that was a real issue for them tonight. Obviously, no Kristaps Porzingis yet. The only real takeaway I have from this one, Sadiq Bey went for 24 points on 7 of 17 shooting. I think Sadiq Bey is good. That's like my big takeaway from the Pistons are going to be good. They need one more guy. They're going to get another top five pick in this year's draft, probably top three. If they get, whether it's Chet or Paolo or Jabari, whoever they wind up with, I think they're going to be pretty good. Because I've seen enough of these Sadiq Bey games. He is a certified scorer. And yeah, that next to Cade Cunningham is a really good combo. And I like Isaiah Stewart. They've got something. They're just too young to figure it out yet.
Yeah, I think they need more of a front court presence, like, you know, young guys that they could look to sort of build a foundation with Bey and Cunningham, and you sort of have that balance, you know, up, like sort of up front, in the middle, and then in the backcourt. But it's always hard to figure out how to sort of get young talent to meld together. You know what I mean? Because they're all figuring themselves out, and you as a coach are trying to figure them out in real time, like as a unit together. And hopefully Detroit's really invested in it, because, like, I know, for example, we talked about Kuzma being in this game. We've talked earlier about Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram playing with the Pelicans. They're going to be discussed. Like, the Lakers, if they had wanted to, had a nucleus of young players that obviously they weren't going to be able to keep them all, but they're very good at identifying young talent. It's ironic because they have no interest in actually developing it. And, you know, Julius Randle was part of that. Like, you know, like you had said earlier, Matt, a lot of former Lakers were a part of this. The Lakers have done extremely well just identifying guys, whether I think at the top of the draft over like the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, they had no real misses. Like, they had no obvious, like, whoa, okay, that one, they clearly just misidentified. Like, yes, Jason Tatum, for example, is a better player overall than Lonzo Ball, but Lonzo Ball is not a bad player. You know what I mean? Like, they did not whiff on Lonzo Ball. There's a difference between whiffing and maybe just they should have taken somebody else. It's like the thing DeAndre Ayton went through this for a long time. I think finally the narrative of who he is finally becoming clear. Yes, he's not Luka Doncic, and he never will be as good as Luka Doncic. That never made him a bad player. And, you know, the Lakers were never invested, though, in developing those guys. If Detroit is truly invested in this and they have the patience to actually build in a way that a team like them, a franchise like them, is going to have to, you're right. They've got the foundation for something. It's just, are they going to be willing to see it out? Are they going to give, you know, the coaches, the players, enough breathing room to really discover who they are?
Well said. Very well said.
Thank you.
Also, probably amongst, if you're in Detroit's shoes, probably step one of that is you should probably trade Jeremy Grant. Probably should have done that at the deadline. Just go ahead. Show him the door.
Perhaps.
All right, let's get wrap it up for Locked On NBA. Thanks for joining us. You can check out Andy on Twitter at Cam Brothers, K-A-M Brothers. You can follow me on Twitter at HB Basketball. Make sure to check out the YouTube show. Make us your first listen. Have a great week. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On NBA. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great day.